Aloha and welcome to Elevating Motherhood. I'm so glad you're here. I'm your host, Lori Beth Aldridge. I've taken my passion for conversation, perspective, and supporting moms and turned it into a podcast. My goal is to talk openly about motherhood, offer new ideas, and help moms find their confidence in this busy and sometimes overwhelming world we live in. We're going to dive deep, open up, and elevate motherhood. Thanks for being here with me. Let's get started. Have you been over to elevatingmotherhood.com lately? That is my homepage. It's where you'll find all the episodes for Elevating Motherhood. And yes, you can listen to episodes from the actual webpage. It also has a list of sponsors and affiliates and all kinds of discount codes. If you go to elevatingmotherhood.com/sponsors, you will find a whole bunch of discount codes and links and just wonderful products made by wonderful people that I am so honored to be aligned with. Some of them are sponsors on the podcast, some of them are affiliate relationships, but you'll find things like discount codes for the homeschool curriculum Blossom and Root, Homestead Education, Talkbox Mom is on there, Wild Math, Wild Reading, and there's also all kinds of products on there that I love, like Wellness, Hue and Grace, Now Paca, and more coming soon, like Ancestral Supplements and Mary Ruth Organics. I love that part of my job is introducing you to amazing brands and wonderful products made by people and companies that I trust. The cherry on top are the discount codes that I get to share with you. So if you have not visited elevatingmotherhood.com, please do so. Sign up for my email list because I am upping my emails. Not for any other reason than I like that form of connection with you. I like the podcast. It's me sitting down doing the editing myself and loving what it is I get to share with you without fear of interference. And I feel the same way about my email list too. It's me showing up and writing you a letter basically and just saying, hey. So if you are not on my email list, please sign up at elevatingmotherhood.com. And if you want to check out all of the awesome sponsors and affiliates that I have here for the podcast, go to elevatingmotherhood.com/sponsors. That's elevatingmotherhood.com/sponsors. This episode, you guys, God's timing is so good. If you follow me on Instagram, you've probably heard me talk about how I feel about my current life lessons and how they all center around humility and God's timing over mine. Well, the timing of this episode release is just perfect. I felt like it was on my heart to really sit down and focus on Bonnie's interview and message and take the time to edit this next. And I needed this episode. I needed it when I recorded it, and I needed it again this week with our family moving. Yes, again, we are still going to be in Idaho, but gosh, moving is pretty all-consuming no matter what the distance is. I have been feeling overwhelmed, and in this unexpected season of chaos. And I lost my voice on top of that, you know, screaming with delight on a roller coaster, but still, it's like my voice is how my life is right now, like barely hanging on at times. And Bonnie's books have truly been a gift to me at different moments in my life. Today, we're talking about her newest book, Breathe, 21 Days to Stress Less and Transform Chaos to Calm. But I also recommend her other book, Sweet Like Jasmine, that I read, actually, ironically, when we were getting ready to move off of Maui and move from Maui to Idaho. And it was a very, very transformative book in my life during that time, preparing for a baby and then having a baby and then moving with a newborn. There's just a lot of self-reflection that happens. And Bonnie's writing style and her encouragement, man, wow, she has humbled me in so many ways and encouraged me and uplifted me all at the same time with her writing. She is a very, very talented writer. And a wonderful person to interview. You'll probably hear the surprise in my voice at the beginning of this episode at how Bonnie and I just jumped right into the deep end with this conversation. Her willingness to be vulnerable and connect with people honestly and openly is part of what makes her such a special guest. If you are in a season of chaos, which I feel like is probably most moms with kids at home, this episode is for you. And if you are a mother who is getting things done, but you often feel like you're surviving alone, this episode is for you. Bonnie Gray is the author of Breathe, 21 Days to Stress Less and Transform Chaos to Calm, Whispers of Rest, Finding Spiritual White Space, and Sweet Like Jasmine. An inspirational speaker and podcast host of Breathe, the Stress Less podcast, Bonnie touches thousands of lives using storytelling, soul care, and prayer. Bonnie's global following of readers come to her for inspiring Christian content and her authentic, unique voice. Her writing has been published and syndicated across a broad online audience. Bonnie lives in California with her husband and two sons. It is my deep honor to introduce to you the amazing Bonnie Gray. I'm so excited. Aloha, Bonnie. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Aloha. Oh, I already feel the breeze on the island. We're here together. It's island time.
It's awesome. Oh my gosh. And don't we need more of that? Holy smokes. Well, I love your new book, Breathe. It was ironically such a breath of fresh air. I read it on our most recent RV trip that I had with my family, and I have a couple of stories to share with you about that. And I was just showing you what your book looks like. Every single member of my family has touched this book and loved on this book. And it is like, it shows even down to the dog chewing the corner off of the pages.
I love it.
We all needed your book.
Oh, you know, it's such a great metaphor, you know, that chewed up edge of the book. And it's like life as moms, you know, we are chewed up by the daily grind and just having to absorb everybody's stress. It's kind of in our job description, right? Because we can't react. We're not, I mean, we do react, but you know, we don't want to, but we're frayed. Frayed meaning F-R-A-Y-E-D. You know, it's that daily grind as moms, 24/7.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. And the beautiful still on the inside and able to be read and known and all of that, even if the cover is, which is the perfect color, by the way, it's my favorite color on the cover, and just the notions that you have for us. I cannot wait to share more about this book. But before we do that, I would love for my audience to get to know more about you in your own words.
I love to be able to share kind of the early parts of my childhood, because that's kind of who I am as a mom, what formed me, the things that are important to me. So here with you, Larry Beth, with our mom friends, I can just be honest. I grew up in a home that was broken. My father left when I was 7. My mom was a teenage bride. And so I've always just really felt this sense of being protective and responsible for my little sister and for my mom. And I grew up really responsible. And I was who you might call typically a positive, optimistic, cheerful type of personality. So it felt really natural to me to be helpful. And unfortunately, it carried up into my adulthood to be overly responsible. And my mom wasn't a loving mom. She was very verbally abusive, very emotionally abusive. And so when I became a mom, it was my desire. I told myself, if I ever become a mom, I just want to be loving. I want to be the mom that I wish I had. Mm-hmm. And because we did grow up below the poverty line, you know, we didn't have very much. It isn't so much that having poverty made me feel ashamed, but it was more like the way my mom handled our lives when we didn't have much. It's like when you don't have much materially, if you have love, it makes a really big difference, right? Like how you get through hard times. But I just got through them on my own, kind of pull myself up by my bootstraps. And so my faith early in my life was very kind of the strong faith, you know, God will help me get over hard things. And he did. I'm so grateful to God. I'm very thankful to him. But it was in the moment when I said, oh my gosh, I finally survived my childhood. And now I get to be a mom. I get to start new, you know, like a new book, new chapter, forget the past, that's done with. And it was in that moment when I had my second baby boy, I have two boys, that I started having panic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so scared because I had no idea why. I started having anxiety, and I married a very loving man. So our marriage was good. And so this began the journey why I introduced myself this way. This is how Breathe, the book, this new book that I wrote, came to be, because over a 10-year period of healing from anxiety, depression, and panic attacks, it was as I was a young new mom. Mm-hmm. So I just have so much hope and encouragement to offer to every woman. You may not be in such an extreme situation as me, but if somebody like me can, you know, learn how to prioritize my wellness with God, and I've healed, I'm on the other side of healing, and I've brought up a wonderful family with two boys, they're teenagers now, that we use these practices. These are real. Like, this is not just a book of ideas. This is real from my heart. Practices we do. There's 21 different stressors in this book. I chose them as the top stressors. And along the way, I've become a soul care coach. And so I just want to just start right off the bat to let everybody know, I know what it feels like to feel pain, to feel isolation and grief, and to be exhausted as a mom. But yet, I have to tell you, Lori Beth, my family is thriving here because I've had to take care of myself. And in the process, my children have learned with me. So they've learned as little preschoolers with me, as I learn new ways how to take better care of myself, they've learned with me. And that's what I want to say. Everything that we're going to talk about today, our children are going to be more blessed because we become the mom that they need. And the mom they need is a mom who is refilled and refreshed with peace. It's not what we do. Every mom has a different way of doing things, but it's more who we are. And so I share my childhood background because when I looked back as a little girl, I always remembered my mom unhappy, angry, irritated, impatient, in my case, verbally abusive, emotionally abusive. And so I know from personal experience, what we remember from our childhood is who our mom is and how we feel when we are with her.
Mm-hmm.
So this is very important. Your mental health wellness, my mental health wellness as mom, is top priority because that is who our children, they're going to be formed by.
Mm-hmm. Bonnie, your level of bravery is exactly what we need. We need people like you who are honest and vulnerable and who are doing the work and saying that this is real. Because there are so many moms out there who are going to be moved by what it is you just said, because the big buzzword right now is like generational healing. You know, everyone's doing them. It's trendy to talk about. It's good to do. And we don't feel equipped with real ways in which we can do that. We have this notion in our hearts and in our heads and in our Instagram feeds saying we're breaking generational cycles, but what does that actually look like? And there are people like you who are doing the work and showing us that it is real and that it is doable and you are capable and you have the capacity and you are telling the truth too. You are saying we can do that through Christ and we can do that through honesty and vulnerability, and that it is important for us to do because our children are going to remember their childhoods through us. And something that you said that really gives me hope, because you're a little bit ahead of me with it when it comes to kids. My kids aren't teenagers yet. Mine are all under 10 at the moment, is that the kids learn with you. And that is really important because sometimes I think we're so busy doing the work and still trying to show up perfectly with this notion that we have to show up perfectly in the everyday. So when we're doing the work and when our kids are seeing us do that work, sometimes we can feel like that's the wrong thing. Like we should be hiding that from them. We should be hiding those vulnerable or what could be considered weak moments, you know, from them. But truly, they need to see the realness of it all in order to, I think, break that generational cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, that is the deepest dive introduction I've ever had on the show. And I'm so grateful for it, Bonnie, really, truly. And I, you know, you talk about your childhood so much in your previous book too. I know we're talking about Breathe, but I highly recommend people read Sweet Like Jasmine too, because everything that you just expressed, you go into tenfold in that book as well. And I think that it is really freeing. And there are so many notions and stories in that book that are just going to set a lot of moms free on their generational journey. Breathe is doable. I love the setup of your book. And I'd love for listeners to learn more about the setup of your book, because it's really rhythmic. And you pace it out for us in 21 days. Like I said, I didn't have 21 days to do it, but it's doable. Can you describe the way you set up each chapter for listeners? Because it's easy to follow and understand. And I really found myself actually looking forward to the end of every single chapter. And it felt like a marker for me. I read the book and then I also listened to the audiobook as well. You do a wonderful job of reading that. And the end of the chapters, I was really looking forward to the breath exercises, the breath prayers at the end. So I'm privy to that, but can you please share with listeners what your setup is like?
Yeah. So this book has four different areas of wellness. These are the four areas that I had to learn, because like I was saying, growing up being the caregiving person, and all moms, we pour out for others, but where are we on the to-do list? We drop off on the bottom or even at all. So when you know which area of wellness that you're missing the most, then you don't become as overwhelmed. When we're stressed, all we know is we're feeling horrible, we feel terrible, and we don't know what to do. So being numb is one of the first signs of stress. Mm-hmm. That's one of the first signs of stress, because most moms will say to me, as a soul care coach mom, Bonnie, I just don't feel joy anymore. And it's almost like this hidden secret we carry as moms, because we're supposed to be joyful. We know we have the love of Christ. We know our joy is in Christ. These are things we know with our minds. But here's the key to wellness, and this comes from God Himself. We do not think our way out of stress. We need to nurture our way out of stress. I'll say that again. When we try to think our way out of stress based by knowing the truth only, it does not help our bodies and our emotions change. We have to nurture our way out of stress. The reasons why I say this is coming from God, because the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. So knowing the truth is only part one. We love God with our mind. We know His truth. We are great at, you know, doing Bible study and knowing God's truth. We know we have peace. We know of joy. We love God with our heart. That's our devotion. That's where we serve our families. That's where we do the commitment, our devotion, all the things we're committed to our kids. But we are missing the third part, loving God with our soul. And our soul is soul care. This is an invitation from Jesus Himself. He says, "Come to me, those who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your soul." I feel like that's just for moms. That's written especially for moms, weary and heavy burdened. That's us. We do a great job. Nobody can tell on the outside. When I was having anxiety and panic attacks and depression, nobody knew I was having them. I was still picking my kids from school. I was still cooking. I was going to Costco. I was going to church. I was showing up. But inside, that's where Jesus sees us. He sees how we feel. And the soul is your personality. Mm-hmm. Your soul is that unique spirit that God created. And David, all over Psalms, he always says, "Oh, my soul," right? "Return to rest, oh, my soul." The soul is where the psalmist says in Psalm 139, "For you created my innermost being." So soul care is about nurturing that inner person that no one can see, even though we're getting things done, but God sees. And Jesus says, "Come to me weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The verse doesn't end there, Lori Beth. Right after Matthew 11, 28, 29 says, "Take my yoke upon you, for I'm gentle and humble. Learn from me, and you will find rest." The key action is learn and find rest for your soul. So rest and renewing our wellness is active. we don't just pray, God, I'm so stressed. Please make this stress stop, or I can't fall asleep. Please, God, help me fall asleep. Yes, we pray. That's first one, first step one, because we want to do it with God. We're saying, God, this is what I need. But we have to put feet to faith. We need mm-hmm. to take actions so we can lower the stress. And we're going to talk about this, you know, in our time together, those actions. But there's four areas. As I read them out loud for us, I want you, dear mama listeners, to ask yourself, which area of wellness are you missing the most? Okay. Is it spiritual wellness, emotional wellness, physical wellness, or social wellness? I'm going to say that again. Is it spiritual wellness, emotional wellness, physical wellness, or social wellness? So Lori Beth, I want to ask you, which area of wellness are you missing the most?
Well, I took your quiz.
Yes. Okay. Everybody take my quiz at soulcarequiz.com. Soulcarequiz.com. Really easy to remember. I want you to hop off after Lori Beth and I chat, go take your quiz and find out which area of wellness you're missing the most. Soulcarequiz.com.
Yeah. I felt like my numbers were too high in general, just so you know, like I was like, oh geez, those are really high, but spiritual is what came up the most. And I feel that. And I felt that for a while, that I'm supposed to be working on me and I'm supposed to be working on the spiritual part of myself. And I even feel like part of our move is because of that, for the spiritual health of our family. And it's funny because a lot of people will think like, oh, well, you lived on Maui. It's just so, you know, like it's a spiritual experience just being there. And I'm definitely not going to disagree with that, but it did not bring me closer to God in that way. And it did not bring me peace in my soul, or even like the recognition piece of recognizing that we are souls inside of a body. And that's what makes us beautiful. And that's who we actually love. You know, when we're looking at our children and loving on them, and yes, we created, you know, we were co-creators of their body, you know, inside of our body, and we love them and clothe them and feed them and nourish them. But there is a spiritual element that is missing. It's something I talk about on the podcast a lot, but it's a long unfolding of what that looks like and that understanding. And I feel like it's a journey that I'm going to be on my whole life, really understanding that. Oh, but we live in a world that tells us like, no, you just Google something and find the answer to it. And then you can move on because that's your answer. But your book is actually a huge call to action. I love that you point that out for us. So yeah, I'm working on the spiritual part of it. And your book was a tool for me to do that. So thank you so much.
Yeah. So every chapter in this four areas of wellness, it'll have four or five stressors. And interestingly mm-hmm. enough, in spiritual wellness, a lot of people will be surprised. Most women that have taken the quiz, I had we had 1,000 mamas, including mamas that we had a book club before the book came out. And a lot of people were surprised that spiritual came up, because this is spiritual wellness as it relates to soul care. So it doesn't mean spiritual wellness, you don't know God's truth or you don't know your identity or your salvation, but it's about how do we relate to God in our identity as God's beloved daughters? And one area, one top stressor in spiritual wellness is negative self-talk. Mm. So a lot of people don't even realize that's spiritual wellness, because how we talk to ourselves, and one of the practices in here, every chapter explores God's story, your story, you know, what does that look like in your life? And then a practical soul care challenge, something specific that you can do in order to lower the stress in that area. And one practice is imaginative prayer practice, where let's imagine how Jesus would speak to us. Because we're so harsh on ourselves. So that, for instance, that soul care tip for spiritual wellness is be gentle with yourself. Be gentle with yourself. Gentleness is a fruit of the spirit. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we are hard on ourselves. If we're impatient, irritated with our kids, we lose it. We are so hard on ourselves. We're saying, oh my gosh, I'm a bad mom. I'm terrible. What's wrong with me? But what would Jesus say? What would God say? In Psalm, we find that God says, I hold you up with my right hand. My gentleness makes you great. My gentleness makes you great. So we respond with gentleness. Okay. So when we receive gentleness, when we nurture ourselves, because the fruit of the spirit, think about a tree. If a tree is not doing well, are you going to hack at it? Are you going to hit it? Are you just going to deprive it with more water, with less water? No, you want to nourish that tree. You want to fertilize that tree. You want to love on that tree. You want to protect it from insects or whatever's, you know, infestation. I don't know what it is that is stressing you out, but I would say to you, sweet mama, everybody listening, you are a wonderful mom. You love your child. So when you feel your nerves are frayed, it's because you need more love. Mm-hmm. You need more care. You need to do something that makes you feel that gentleness again. What's something comforting? So that day, soul care. And it shows research, and I always give a scientific tip with a scriptural tip. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting, God's right hand in scripture, when there is a semicolon, it says, your gentleness makes you great. My gentleness makes you great. I hold you with my right hand. Sometimes we ask God to help us. We want him to just erase whatever we see as a bad character trait in us. But God says, I'll help you with my gentleness. It's his gentleness. So we need to take action, because right hand represents strength in scripture. So what's going to make us strong, mamas, is gentleness, not just the way we treat others, but it's about receiving God's gentleness. What helps you feel like softened? Not talking about our kids, because the order is always us first. In scripture, it says, comfort others with the comfort we first receive ourselves. That's in Corinthians. This is a principle in soul care. In order to comfort others, and that's really one of our number one things as moms, we have to comfort our children. They always come to us. Whatever problem is happening, we are the ones to offer the comfort, but we cannot pour out of an empty well. So we need to receive the comfort. So every time you feel like you're being hard on yourself, or you see something happening that you wish you didn't do or say, rather than being hard on yourself or critical, you need to fill yourself with something that makes you feel loved and softened and receive that gentleness. So if it's not on that day right there, then you need to schedule it for the next day or later on in the week. And this gets into the fun part of soul care, which is it's going back to who you are as God's little girl, our identity as his little girl, his child. We move mountains for our kids, Lori Beth. We mm-hmm. will like drive them around. Find what helps you, you know, gives you joy. Let's try this sport or that sport or this class, or, this piano teacher's not working out. Let's go find a different one. We do everything for our kids, but what about ourselves? We just give up on ourselves. And God says, mm-hmm. it's my gentleness that gives you greatness, that makes you strong. So this is very important in soul care. What in our lives is there a time for yourself where you can feel softened and comforted?
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting hearing you talk about this, because you're posing the question, and I'm sitting here thinking about what does bring me that. And I struggle with coming up with something, truly, because if I think about it, what helps me the most is time and pause, the opportunity for pause. And it's so funny because I'm the one who gives myself the opportunity for pause. Like I can say, oh, you don't have to react right away. You don't have to, you have control in this situation. You know, you can have a moment to stop and think through this situation, but we live in this busy world that's like, go, 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 go. And one that tells us that, you know, cliche self-care examples of, you know, you only get peace if you're sitting down with a hot cup of tea in a cozy chair next to a window overlooking, you know, a big open field or something like that, or sitting by the ocean. And it's like, well, as moms, if we had that, we also probably have children crawling all over us at the same time. And like, just trying to find our peace in the middle of all of the chaos and all the cultural messages, I am sitting here thinking the only thing I can really come up with is time is what I need, is in more time. And we live in a world that tells me, no, you don't have time for everything. And you have to do it all, but you can't do it all. And it's just this big cluster. And I feel like I need to take a big step back from that, even though I feel like I'm really good at opting out of cultural messages and stepping out and stepping back from that. Hearing you speak makes me feel like I need to take an even bigger step back than I already have.
Well, I'll touch on emotional wellness based on what you're saying, because a lot of times when we are feeling that frayedness, that sense of being exhausted, mm-hmm. There are two types of anxiety. There's left brain anxiety and right brain anxiety. Left brain is where we problem solve and where our logic is. And this is what we have to lean on to get things done, do the logistics, do the shopping, do the schedules. This is the left brain. But we have another part of our mind that God created. It's called the right brain. The right brain is our artistic, creative self. This is our emotional center. This is our five senses. Five senses: what we smell, the scent, what we see visually, what we hear auditorily, tactile, what we do with our hands and touch, and fifth, what we taste. Guess which part of the brain lowers stress and anxiety and boosts depression? Is it the left brain, the part where you can problem solve, or the right brain where you can activate those five senses?
I guess it would be left, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
it? Yeah, that's where I was before. It was my left brain. We try to think our way out. We try to solve the problem. Kids has tantrums. They're not eating their vegetables, or our teenager is on social media. Let's figure it out. Let's do a plan. Let's sit down. Let's talk to them. Let's do the consequences, the rewards. Okay. That does not lower stress and anxiety. When it comes to mental health, wellness, all that stuff I described we do with our left brain does not lower stress, anxiety. In fact, studies show that it increases anxiety, increases depression. When we use and lean on our left brain, and we don't have any or very little right brain activity. Right brain is what we activate in order to lower stress, anxiety, and boost depression. So this will be a game changer. It changed me, because once I knew, you know, there's a verse here that I used a lot before I learned about wellness. And this book, Breathe, goes through 21 different scriptures. And what I learned when I really studied it for wellness, there's a Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, do not be conformed to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So I always thought, as long as I think correctly and use my mind to figure out what God wants for me or my child or my family, then things are going to be okay. That's only part one. We need to use the other part. We learned there are two parts to our mind. Our mind has the left brain and the right brain. God created our emotions to be that light on the dashboard of a car. If the lights are going on, there's low gas, the oil needs to be changed. We don't get mad at the car. We say, okay, we need to go refill on these fluids.
Right, so take action.
Exactly. We have to take action. So when we're stressed and anxious or feeling down, we get up and we're just feeling sluggish. We're exhausted. We can't fall asleep at night because our minds just can't turn off. It's called overthinking. Our body's in a fight, flight, freeze mode. And that gets triggered when there are too many stressors. So how do you deal with those stressors? You have to activate a God-designed counterbalancing force. It's called the rest and relaxation response. This is what our nervous system does. Now, the key here that's a game changer is that it isn't automatically turned on.
Mm-hmm.
We have to activate it. We have to activate it by taking actions to activate the rest and relaxation response. So in the stress response, there's cortisol that gets released. So when we're in that left brain mode the whole day with our kids, and if there's no break, no space for any right brain nurturing activities, okay, and I said there's five, I'm just going to focus on one, and there's 21 in my book, but mm-hmm. one of them is doing things with your hands. What do we like to do that helps us bring us joy or peace mm-hmm. that we do with our hands? Some women like to garden. Some people like to play piano or an instrument. Some people like to knit. Some people like to bake bread. Some people, So something you can do that uses your hands. Research shows that doing things with our hands, it turns off that overthinking. There's just two muscles. We can't say stop worrying, stop stressing. Mm-hmm. That doesn't work. You have to do an opposite action in order to turn down and stop the cortisol. So mm-hmm. when you do things with your hands, it releases a chemical called serotonin. Serotonin is the feel-good hormone mm-hmm. and chemical that God created in our brains, right brain, when we do something with delight that gives us joy. For some women, it is sitting next to the sunlight with a cup of tea. For mm-hmm. you, it's going to be something else. It might be going to the spa. It might be doing a night out for sushi with your girlfriend. Chatting is maybe your thing. It could be baking mm-hmm. bread. Okay. But something you do in your own quietness. So for instance, if I were your soul care coach, Lori Beth, I would say not just baking bread at home, but I would encourage you, is there any classes that you can take for fun that, you know, is a baking class? Mm-hmm. And it could be a one-time one. Or maybe organize something with your friends while your husband takes the kids out for one Saturday and just have your friends. It can be, I would say, no more than two or three. Research shows that three is the magic number when it comes to social wellness. That's the fourth area of the book. But social mm-hmm. wellness, three. Mm-hmm. Three is where you can really have enough space where you can end up chatting about how you're doing and not just what you're doing. And resilience is built over sharing what you're doing. And this is interesting. Jesus is one. He brought three people into Gethsemane. Mm-hmm. On the worst night of his life, we all know that Jesus prayed often by himself. But on the worst night of his life, even Jesus needed his friends with him to pray with him, to share and allow them to see. You know, we see recorded in the scripture, Jesus is just crying. He's falling onto the floor and he's saying, God, is there any other way? This is too hard. Can you just change things? Let's change the plan. But Jesus, he is obedient. He is holy. He yielded, right? He didn't yield to the temptation. But the point is, he needed friends. So that 2-3 number is awesome. Ecclesiastes says, a cord of three strands cannot be easily broken.
I loved that in the book. I actually rewound it and listened to it again. I love that so much.
Yeah. So whatever it is that you love doing with your hands, that needs to have a place. Now, when the kids were little and they were below five, I could only go out once a month. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have a mom nearby. I was talking to you about how, you know, I grew up in a dysfunctional home and, you know, it was just my mom and me and my sister, younger sister. So I actually, when the kids were little, I didn't learn about the soul care. So I didn't know how to ask for help. I didn't know how to make friends where, you know, I could just hang out a lot. I mean, I learned over the years, but initially I said, okay, the best I can do is once a month. I need to have a whole morning by myself. And, you know, it grew from there. So start small. Don't mm-hmm. feel like you have to have the whole, you know, like ideal picture that's on Instagram. Start small, whatever that is for you. Mm-hmm. It could be a bath at night. Now, the difference between soul care and self-care is this. Okay. You know, books on self-care, bubble baths. I mean, that those things never worked for me. But the reason why I bring up bath is because once I learned that Jesus and God wants us to relax, to receive his love, receive his comfort. The first thing I thought about for comfort, and remember, we're talking about start small. I love a good bath. But I stopped taking them once I became a mom. Before, when I was a single girl, I love baths. I love, you know, being able to read a book and mm-hmm. being in my bath and, you know, have some like nice smelly, you know, nice scented, you know, I love lavender, all these things. Basically I dropped off once I became a mom. I just felt mm-hmm. they were, you know, childish,
yeah, like, okay, girl, or whatever.
Yeah. Come on, girl. You're a mom now, you know, but that's not true. There's Psalm 46:10. That's another game changer for me that I put in the book. Be still and know that I am God. Mm-hmm. This is a verse that was told to me when I finally had the courage to tell somebody I was having anxiety and panic attacks. And unfortunately, it made me feel ashamed because this person that I, you know, felt like I trusted and dared to tell her, she still is a godly woman, but unfortunately she didn't understand mental health wellness. She says, Bonnie, you're not trusting God enough. There must be some area of your life you're not giving over to God. Be still and know that God is God, Bonnie. You need to be still. And I was like, oh my gosh, there must be something. What am I doing wrong? And then I was being still, okay? But I didn't feel better. I was like practicing silence. I was trying to tell myself, stop worrying about so much. God, what is it? And I double-clicked on the word be still, the phrase. Mm-hmm. And in Hebrew, it means rafa. It literally means relax.
Yeah.
Loosen your grip.
Mm-hmm.
It's an action word. And be still and know that God is God. That know is not a left brain knowing. It's not the knowledge that God is great. God is omnipotent. God is all powerful. That know is called yada. It means to experience God. So it means to personally experience God. So how do you personally experience relaxing? Wow, that is spiritual soul care. So suddenly I realized, okay, this bath desire I have in me is not just secular self-care. This is where I feel God's comfort. I can say, you know what? I'm worthy of time,
right?
Of comfort. And studies show that a bath, it releases oxytocin. And the reason why we love water is because it simulates our body responds like we are in utero.
Mm-hmm.
That is the safest place that we first experience the world is in utero in our mom's womb.
Mm-hmm.
We're surrounded by water.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we love water. When we're around it, our body literally relaxes. It releases the hormone oxytocin. And as moms who nurse, or you know, even when we bottle feed, we're holding our baby close, skin to skin. That's what helps a child feel safe and comfort.
Mm-hmm. I'm a nursing mom right now, again, for like what feels like the bajillionth year in a row.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And I see that. And I know that. And I'm grateful that I'm an older mom and can, and I don't think age necessarily has anything to do with it, but it does have something to do with it for me. And I recognize that when I have my little, we're just calling him a Velcro monkey this morning because he really loves his mama. In fact, I'm pretty sure someone was just knocking at my door.
Well, you need more. You need more soul care than ever.
I do.
More you pour out, the more soul care you need. So
yeah,
you need more for you.
Holy smokes. I think you're right. I think you're right. And when I think of this, I mean, I am coming off of a 3-week RV trip where I feel like I have RV lag, like a RV version of jet lag. And this reintroduction back into the world has been very abrupt feeling, if you will. And I am exhausted to my bones. There is not enough coffee to wake me up, but I knew that this chat this morning would wake me up some. And so you're right. That is something that I lean into. So as I'm exhausted this morning and really at the bottom of that well, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, there's so much that has to be done, but I feel like I need things like naps, and I feel like I need things like easy, nutritious meals, and I just need to decompress with friends and talk about our trip and things like that. I feel like all these things that you're talking about, I need. And you talking about baths, we moved into a home that we're renovating, and my husband's like, I think we need to do one of the bathrooms next, I guess our next project, next renovation project. And I want a big tub. I want this wonderful, glorious tub, because even when we sell the house, I'm sorry, but the return on investment for an excellent tub, I can't be the only person who likes water. I was just reading about water too, because we don't live where we can see the ocean anymore. And so that was something that just brought me so much peace and calm. And I had read that your brain needs to see water in order to feel calm. And we were around water almost our entire trip. And every time we saw it, I had a visceral reaction to it of just much more ease. And I love that you say in the book, and then also just now talking about how even be still and know is an action. And we seem to be confusing rest with sleep and, you know, peace with just sitting still, when it's actually an action and we need to be taking actions. And when you were talking about doing stuff with our hands, it actually made me think of my grandmother. She just passed away at the end of the year last year. And in her delirium, I have an episode about her legacy, but at the end of her life and her delirium, she was praying the rosary. So even though she wasn't in sound mind, she's a very devout Catholic, and she was doing that with her hands over and over and over again. And she was an exceptional quilter. And she was threading an invisible needle. So even at the end, there was peace, and it was in doing what it is she had done every single day. And I think about that now. You know, what would I be doing at the end of my life? Would I be, you know, folding bread, or would I be losing my mind? Like, which would it be? But it's in the everyday actions that we take now that bring us that peace, that get, like you're talking about, from a scientific and spiritual standpoint too, of the right brain and doing something with our hands and taking action. It not only is going to bring peace to us now, it will bring peace to us our entire lives. And I think it's such an important thing to sit down and do that. And she did that all the time. And we were the recipients of stunning quilts. Strangers at the Children's Hospital were recipients of her stunning hand-done quilts that are so meticulous, they look like they could have been done by a machine. But just tons of love poured into it. And there was time for that. The world tells you that there isn't time for that, but there totally is. And I think it's really important that we take the time to listen to your book or read your book and listen to this episode and your words and really apply them, because your book is absolutely a call to action, big time. You're not just saying you deserve peace. You're giving us doable, tangible ways in which we can receive that and rest in that, but rest as an action.
Well, you know that, you know, sometimes when you're so exhausted, sometimes if a friend does invite you out for, you know, coffee or lunch, you're like, you know, I wish I didn't agree to it. I'm exhausted. I'd rather just stay in my PJs and just do nothing and, you know, not go out. Mm-hmm. But once we do go, mm-hmm. we're like, this was so good for me. Mm-hmm. Thank you. It was so great. We come back lit up. We come back energized. Mm-hmm. And so that's why when you say we rest into the things we do for ourselves, to rest and refill. And one of the things that I was so surprised to learn on my path to wellness is that we have to take action. We need to do things to help our bodies to experience peace. There's a really great passage in Philippians that says, do not be anxious for anything, but through prayer and petition, make your request known to God. But we stop right there. Okay, yes, we make requests, we give up our prayers to God. But the next verse says, Apostle Paul says, whatever you've learned from me, there's that word again, learn from me, practice, think on these things, whatever's lovely, whatever's excellent, whatever's worthy. Paul says, practice these things. So we don't just think, we don't stop there by thinking of lovely things, meaning, flowers are so lovely. Okay. Mm-hmm. We need to go outside, walk and look at flowers. Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Look at the flowers. He says, look at the flowers. So we need to be outside in order to notice God speaking to us and touching us with his peace. So not just, you know, thinking God loves us, but doing things that you can feel and experience his love. And everybody has a different love language. So you've got to receive that. And so I was surprised to learn, and it was so great, that 10 minutes of walking outside lowers stress, lowers cortisol, and releases serotonin more than 45 minutes at the gym.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow. I love that. Yeah. I loved that. There was so much freedom in that. I was like, I have 10 minutes to take a walk. I actually think that sounds brilliant. I think that sounds awesome.
And you're never going to feel like it. Okay. Just like you don't feel like going out with your friends, maybe in the moment, but you're glad you did. Never do I ever feel like going for a walk when I'm stressed. It's the last thing I want to do. And because that's called the freeze response. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're numb. We're like, I don't need anything. I don't want anything. Just leave me alone. leave me with my checklist and a canteen, mm-hmm. you know, just go away. Let me get this done, you know. But actually, when you put your shoes on, you walk yourself outside, 10 minutes later, you are going to feel better. Why? Because that's the way God yes. created our bodies. Literally, yes. your brain will start releasing the serotonin, lowering yes. the cortisol. You'll feel better. And when I said I practice with my kids, it's the same thing. I said, I'll always say, kids, mom's going for a walk. I'll be back in 15 minutes. And then when they're stressed, well, we're here in California. Everybody mm-hmm. translate what works for you where you live. But I'll say, Josh, why don't you take a 15-minute break? You've been at your desk now struggling with this essay. And mm-hmm. you know, you could tell they're getting frustrated. They're starting to wad up their paper, whatever it is that you know your child is getting frustrated. I say, when they were little, I would say, okay, let's go take a walk. No, I don't want to. I know. I don't want to either. You know, like you got it. Because when you do soul care, you can relate to that sense of resistance. Yeah. Okay. Because you've received it yourself. So I go, I know. I don't feel like it. So let's go. Afterwards, we'll have a cookie. Okay. This is when they're little. Okay. Let's go. Let's put on our shoes. I don't want to. I know. But you know what? We help them put on our shoes. We go outside and after walk, oh, they feel better. We feel better. Mm-hmm. So, but now he's a teenager. Now it works because I'll say, Josh, you've been at your desk now. I just want you to take a 10-minute walk. No, Ma, I don't feel like it. I know. Just go. Okay. But we've been doing it. So then he goes and then he comes back and I'll say to him still the cookie. I will. He's a teen. I'll say, hey, Josh, you know, I got some cookies at Costco. Come back and then, you know, let's have some cookies together. Okay. And it worked. That's why he comes back. His mood is not so grouchy. And it's through experiences. So that's the key here. This is the key, is that we have to give our kids experiences, yes. not just yes. telling them, you know, stop this, stop that, stop.
For sure. There.
We have to give them an experience. And so I might be jumping ahead to some questions that you have for me,
okay. but
this is so key. This changed. So because I was having anxiety and panic attacks, and I learned about wellness and all this. And because I didn't have family to help around me, I had to take my kids. Okay. So yeah. every weekend when my husband wasn't working, I said, okay, every weekend, Saturday or Sunday, we're going to do something that gives us peace or joy. Remember, it has to be an experience. So we have a whiteboard, and these are when the kids were even like little, like under 5. So we have a whiteboard and we'll say, okay, everybody, what would make you happy? What do you want to do? And we would each brainstorm and throw a bunch of words on the whiteboard. Okay. But remember, we have to be a part of that, right? Moms. So I would say, okay, everybody pick one. Everybody gets to pick one, and we're going to take turns every Saturday and do one of these. Okay. Mom's going to pick this. And I pick the one I want. And then dad and our dads get blessed too, because dad, you choose, what would you like to do? Okay. And then we do that. We do what dad wants to do. Then the kids each pick one. So every week of the month, on Saturday, we have something. So no matter how crazy things get during the week, we have something to look forward to. No matter what hiccups or kerfuffles or conflicts, guess what? We always come together as a family, and positive experiences literally brings bonding. Mm-hmm. So think of an emotional account with our kids. Over the years, you want to insert a lot. You know how some people have like, say, oh, say for college, there's a savings account or whatever it might be. For us moms, we want to put an emotional account in there, because by the time they get to teenagers, we want that account to, you know, be well invested. You need to put in those experiences. And even during the week when they get withdrawn, you know, because we're not perfect moms. We don't want to be perfect moms, but we can refill, we replenish that. So at the end of the week, we always come back together through an experience. We don't just say, we love each other here in this family. We are good friends to each other in this family. We don't just say that. We have to have an experience where we're laughing, we're doing something. Remember, now you understand more about brain science. When we activate the right brain, the left brain turns off. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if there's some argument or some conflict, okay, if we have an experience, then it'll turn off that left brain where we're upset. Mm-hmm. So even in the moment, if Wednesday's a terrible day, we know, okay, we're going to come back on Saturday, and then it replenishes that account. And so every month we would do this. We wouldn't plan it for many months, because we would do it more like in real time, see what people feel like. Mm-hmm. And so we've have this rhythm, and it's now lasted till they're adults. And then now not adults,
amazing.
They're about to be adults. Yeah. They're teenagers. But I say, okay, make sure you know this when you go to college, it's the same thing. When you're stressed, make sure you have something for your weekend in between your study breaks. So you see how it's extending to them in mental health wellness. And even now with, I live in a county here in Santa Clara County. It's the first district that the CDC ordered a special investigation because there's so many suicides here in Silicon Valley in California. The schools here are right across from Stanford University. It's here in Silicon Valley where Google is, LinkedIn. I mean, it's high achievement here. There's only 1% of people here are churched. Okay, so these practices I'm telling you about, this is true soul care that I've developed in my boys. So like we are living counterculturally.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you have your kids live counterculturally? It's not just by what we teach, although I do teach the truth to them. Okay, left brain. But I overwhelmingly, because of wellness, focus on majority of my time with creating good experiences. Because if you teach them one truth, you need like, I would say 80%. This is not scientific, but you know, 80% of experiences. We say, God loves you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We need to have experiences where they feel loved. Okay. Mm-hmm. Stand strong in your values. You know, you don't have to, you know, give in to what people think about this particular truth. Well, they're going to really have that truth imprinted when you're telling it to them, when you're out enjoying something together. So a lot of the controversial issues, and everyone has their, you know, hot issue they want to teach your kids. We often, my husband and I, will do it cushion sandwich in between what we call our family adventures.
Mm-hmm. Experiences. I mean, I feel like I'm like a 3-week living example of that. Boy, you want to like take your book and your book needed to be in our RV. Let's put it that way, because there is no place to hide. There is no place to go in an RV that is crammed with a giant dog, a cat, which escaped no less than 10 times and caused major stress. And we had these experiences in between, and we needed to do those physical activities. And because we were in the Redwoods for the first time, all of us together, you know, you're there. I mean, I drove right by you. We were right there. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous area of the country. And despite all of that beauty around, you know, this is happening. It's shocking. And you have to really sit down and think about that for a while. But you're right that experiences need to be created. And I love your idea about choosing one thing on the weekend and just knowing that that's what you do and that's your family time. But it takes the to-do list item of a family time and turns it into just a life-giving opportunity. And you're right. That's what it is we're trying to create for our kids is opportunity, you know, in everything that we do, from the jobs that we hold and the way that we show up and the breaking of generational cycles and modeling things for them. Are you familiar at all with the Charlotte Mason education philosophy? I think you would really like it. Charlotte Mason is wonderful. She's a British educator who died 100 years ago. And her philosophies about nature and experiences. And I don't think she had the terminology of left brain and right brain, but I think you really enjoy her stuff. It's the educational philosophy we use in our homeschool. And so I feel like we get more of that. And yet, despite the fact that we are led by the Charlotte Mason educational philosophy and ideas in your book, we still are at war, I feel like, with all the messages around us all the time. And it's really wild. I will share one story with you before we end about the RV. I was reading your book and I had read the wildflowers chapter, and I just love the notion of wildflowers in general. So I was going to read that immediately. But you say in that chapter that God delights seeing you light up with delight. And I know that to be true. And I also feel like it's something that I forgot about. And it was really wonderful to have that at the forefront of my mind. And also thinking about from our homeschool perspective, like delight is something really important. Delight, I want to delight in my children. I don't want to be angry with them. I also have to teach them. And how can we find that balance between delight? So I'm having this whole overthinking moment as a mom and just really coming back to that and realizing that on our 3-week adventure that I had delighted in so much. And the things that we delighted in the most were visiting with people that we loved dearly. And then also visiting these stunning things. We went to Zion National Park and we went to the Redwoods and we were on the coast and we were on the Oregon coast and the California coast. And I cried when I saw the ocean. It was just so beautiful. And we were having all these moments of delight. And we were having unbecoming family arguments as well, because it's an RV. And the reality is there's no place to go. And all your stuff comes to the surface and you're standing there and you literally physically cannot move around people and animals and all this stuff. And you have to have it out. And so we had had this bickering moment and we're still having this bickering moment. And it's just, ugh, but we're driving by the Columbia River and none of us have even seen the Columbia River before. And it's so beautiful and massive. And all of the rock formations around it are just striking and different from anything else we'd seen on our trip. And so we're just really just talking about all our stuff and putting our dirty laundry and slinging it on one another and all these things. And there was the beauty all around us. And it was so overwhelmingly beautiful that even the angriest among us said, wow, that actually is really pretty. And it diffused the entire situation because all of a sudden we were equipped with God's creation and that perspective that there is beauty all around. And we had wonder and we were reminded of our capacity all at the same time. And, you know, all of us were different ages and we were bringing different ideas to the table. And the unifying factor was us delighting in what was around us. And it brought us back to the present moment. And it was so good. And I saw your words in practice in that moment. And I knew that that is actually what we needed. We obviously needed to work through that stuff, but it was when we stopped and had delight and wonder and perspective and appreciation that we could continue the discussion without heat. It wasn't a heated argument anymore. There was no heat there at all. We could just talk the rest of it out. And then we went about our day and that issue was gone. And we were still driving by the Columbia River because it's super long. But my question for you, my last question for you is, what about those days when we don't have the Columbia River right next to us to drive along for miles and miles and miles? How can we sustain delight and wonder in our everyday when we, even if we don't have jaw-dropping landscapes around us to bring us back to what really matters?
Yeah. And the reason why I'm going to answer this way is because I just want to emphasize that I started from negative account, meaning I never took time for myself. I never even knew what that meant. I had zero ideas, literally, on what would bring me delight. Like even that word was very annoying to me because I would feel like I don't need it. And so let's just not waste time. Let's just figure out how to overcome. I was a fighter meaning I want to overcome. I want to be strong. I think all this stuff would just make me weak and more softened. And it would just like connect me to the things that I wouldn't want, which is my emotions and feeling negative and my complaints and all that. So what I'm about to share is just to say that it really takes courage to really see yourself as you truly are, which is a person who needs more love and more care than ever before as a mom. I was single until my mid-30s. I was in high tech. I was the first in my family to go to college. I was a first among, you know, I'm from the 70s, I'll date myself, but you know, there weren't very many women in engineering. I only share this to say that I always felt that practicing God's faith meant being strong. And so anything that would make me feel like it touches things I don't need, like, oh, self-care, soul care, refilling things. I mean, I just felt there was no room and need for it. But once I learned more about wellness and how God created our bodies and my body, and many women that are listening right now, we grew up whether you're in the 80s, the 90s, the thousands, we grew up as women taught to be strong, independent, resilient, not relying or dependent on anything.
Mm-hmm.
This is just our generation. I mean, for, you know, women empowerment. But from God's point of view, we're always his daughters. The way he created our bodies are the last line of defense. So when my hair started falling out, when I started not being able to fall asleep, and every woman's going to have something physically that's telling us we push past our limit. And as yeah. moms, that is what happens. All the things we used to use as our tools to get through hard things, pushing through, they don't work when we become moms. It's just an overwhelming job. It's all consuming. That's just the nature of it. So that's why this whole era of soul care is a wonderful adventure for us as women. It's so vulnerable to say something like, what would bring me joy? What isn't working in my life? Where is space for me? Mm-hmm. That is very, very scary language to me. You know, because I'd rather burn myself out and make sure everybody's fine than to be disruptive to our finances, to our time, our schedule, to say, you know what, I would love this. I need this. Those are emotionally vulnerable words. And I just want to say, sisters, they're important to God. They're important to God, how you feel. Just like your child, how would you feel if you saw your child constantly stressed, never leaving their rooms, not eating right, not sleeping right, don't want to see anybody. All that you want to do is work, work, work. Like, your heart would break apart mm-hmm. seeing your child miserable all the time. We would never say to a child, go back in your room, no water for you, no food, keep doing your homework, I don't care. Or like, you know, whatever it is, clean up your room and don't come out, and, you know, no friends for you. No, but that's how we treat ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I want to say is, in those moments when you feel there's no delight, things are breaking down, I just invite you to see yourself the way Jesus sees you.
Mm-hmm.
He says, come to me, those who are weary, heavy laden, let me give you rest. Won't you just hear that whisper of God? Hear and imagine, that's imaginative prayer. Imagine Jesus right with you in that moment as you're seething, you're angry, or there's, you know, loud shouting. I don't know what that looks like. I don't do angry just because my mom was very angry toward me.
Yeah.
She would shut me down. Okay. My mom would shove me. So for me, I don't express it just because I never could. I'm not saying that I wouldn't have been able to. So, but for me, I cry. I shut down, I cry, I go in my room. So as a mom, whenever I felt that, for me, the way I expressed it is I cry, I get depressed, and no one can see. And I just start withdrawing inside myself. So every woman has a different reaction. And so I've had to learn, when Jesus comes to me in that moment, he says, Bonnie, come here, come here, come into my arms. 1 Peter 5:7, come to me. 1 Peter 5:7 was just a lifesaver. Cast your cares on me because I care for you. And that's the last thing we're going to do together in our time. Every chapter has a breath prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Because I couldn't pray when you're struggling to even breathe and you're having panic attacks. I couldn't study scripture, not the way I used to. Didn't have no Bible time, you know, too busy trying to just even get through my day, crawl through my day. But one thing God started just lighting up inside me very quietly are different verses. Every woman has one. What is the verse that God's giving you today that would bring you peace or joy or reassurance? Use it as a breath prayer. So when we breathe in, breathe out deeply, our body activates that rest response I talked about at the beginning of our time. It literally helps your body release tension, reoxygenate your mind, your brain. It lowers cortisol, it releases serotonin, and the tension will leave. And that's called breath work in secular society, our culture. But God is originator of breath work.
Mm-hmm.
There are over 1,000 references to the word breathe and breath in scripture. That's how this book was born. Because I said, God, what do you have to say about breathing and breath work? And so I found over 1,000 references. And as I categorized them, they fell into these four areas of wellness.
Amazing.
So each chapter has a breath prayer. And so you add God's promises, because the Holy Spirit is breath. In the New Testament, when it talks about the Holy Spirit, the word is pneuma. It means breath. The Holy Spirit is breath. So when God breathed in Adam through his nostrils, the breath of life, there's two different words of breathe. There's breath of life. That's the actual transformation that happens, the breath of life. And then there's breathe, literally through your nose. So it's amazing. When you breathe in through your nose, inhale, you exhale through your mouth, like you're blowing out candles. That rhythm will help your body relax. I had to do that for releasing anxiety when I had panic attacks, but I would add scripture. Mm-hmm. And so 1 Peter 5:7, you inhale, I cast my cares on you. Exhale, because you care for me. Inhale, I cast my cares on you. Exhale, because you care for me. As you take that deep breath in and out three times, then just name the worry that's on your mind. Name that child that's causing you grief. Name that situation. And as you do that, your body and your spirit will experience God's peace. Peace is a practice. UCLA brain imaging studies showed that when women were able to watch images, pictures of people being stressed, sad, angry, worried, their bodies hooked up to biometrics showed that their heart rates increased, their blood pressure increased, their pupils were dilated. But once they had them do it again, watch those negative images, but they only needed to name the negative emotion they were watching, their bodies went back to rest. Heart rates settled down, blood pressure went down. So when you name what worries you, that will bring your body rest.
Mm-hmm. I love that so much. And those breath prayers that you, I have to ask you, are you going to make cards for them? Do you have cards
with for them Mother's printed Day, on them? Yes, for Mother's
you
Day.
Okay.
Yeah, there's going to be a special when you order my book. Then for starting May 1st, when you order my book, and or if you buy them for a gift, you can have those cards sent to you. You can print them out on stock paper, and there will be great reminders. And my kids actually practice them. Well, testing is very stressful for my kids. And so they do that. I say, before you take your test, go ahead and use this breath prayer. And so in the morning, we have a little devotional. We actually use Max Licato. He has Grace for the Moment. They're just chock full of like 365 verses. So we take one and we use those as breath prayers. So we're like, okay, use this breath prayers. And you know, different ones will speak to different kids. So sometimes they'll use the same one. The Lord is my shepherd, you know, breathe in, breathe out. Lord is my shepherd, breathe in, breathe out. You know, they're going to find one. We don't have to worry. You know, we just keep giving it to them. They'll find one, but my kids use it for sure. So in school here in California, they do teach what they call, you know, relaxation, breathing, breath work. But because my kids know God's word and they know it's connected to God. So when they practice it in class, they're thinking of God's words. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we just want to show kids that whatever's in the culture, actually God owns it first. So whatever's happening, I'm not afraid of culture. I'm just saying, oh yeah, you know, it's because they don't know God. So they only take that piece of it, the breathing piece. They don't know that God's word is the missing piece. So when we practice it, we add God's word. Mm-hmm. It all comes from God anyways.
Yeah.
And so just like the rain shines on everybody, the rain, you know, the rain helps. The sun shines on everybody, the rain feeds all the crops for everyone. A lot of these practices you'll see are self-care, you know, they do help, but what transforms us, we have the Holy Spirit, we have his word. And so that's why every chapter gives a scripture that matches the science that we can use.
Mm-hmm. Bunny, I love it. I hoped so very much that you would have cards because it is such an actionable thing. And that's the part of your book that I look forward to the most at the end of every single chapter, the variety in your book of everything. And we've talked about so much today And we didn't even get to like burnout and timelines and all these different things. You address all of them in your book. There is an opportunity for us to bring what it is we have and what we're carrying as individuals. And I just wanted to say thank you for that too. You do a beautiful job of honoring the individual in your book. And I feel like that's a missing piece in society. You're actually bringing a lot of missing pieces, the God piece, the spiritual piece, the honoring of the individual and saying, you matter. You are a child of God. You matter to God. And it helps us to come to prayer honestly and vulnerably. And you help us by naming that stuckness that we feel, that sometimes we feel embarrassed or ashamed or like we're not praying right or we're not showing up in those moments right. And then you remind us that God already knows that about us and helps us release that so that we can show up and do the work without the shame and the guilt and all the negative emotions attached to all of that. And I just wish that there were more voices like you who are speaking the truth and saying, hey, these are obviously the missing puzzle pieces. We need to talk about this. And there aren't any topics that are off limits with you. And it's so much more than just breath work and breathing. You are bringing out all of the things that we need to talk about that are coming to the surface anyway. And you're also doing it in a beautiful spaced out timeline that makes it doable and approachable and easy to understand. And I'm so grateful for that. It was so funny because when I think about timelines, I was actually going to ask you, you know, like, how long do you think it takes to get over burnout when we're feeling it? And now I see that that doesn't matter. That's like a construct of the society that we live in. And one lesson I am learning in the last couple of years is that God's timing is perfect. And it's when I bring in my expectations about what I think a timeline should look like, that all that stress and anxiety and starts to come to the surface. And it's my doing, it's my actions or my left brain that's showing up and really imploding the moment and causing more stress. And you have invited us to slow down and breathe. And it's so important. I have loved what you've done. I love your work. I love this conversation. I know my listeners are going to want to connect with you more. Where can they find you?
Yeah. Take that soul care quiz.
Yes.
Soulcarequiz.com. Soulcarequiz.com. Take that quiz. And in the results of what your greatest need is for the moment, you'll also find my contact information. And so you can find me on Instagram at TheBonnieGray. And I love being able to be a friend. And so I have a podcast. It's called Breathe, the Stressless Podcast. And so I just share along the way the things that have helped me. And I think it's so important to hear an encouraging voice. Mm-hmm. Again, these are things that I grew up not having and learned as a survivor. When I say survivor, I mean surviving emotionally alone. And a lot of us as moms, that's what we're doing. We're surviving emotionally alone, even though we're getting a lot of things done. But it's so important. I realize the way God created us, we need to hear words of encouragement, even though we know these things. I mean, probably in this book, these are all things as women of faith, we know. But when we can hear them encourage, that encouragement on a personal level, it means so much more. That's why Jesus had to come in flesh. It wasn't enough in the Old Testament for people to know the truth. We needed to experience it. That's why Jesus said, I come, word become flesh. And what did he do when he returned to heaven? He said, now I'm making you now disciples. I want you to be the word in flesh. I want you to receive it and then share it. So that would be my parting words is join me on my podcast, read this book because it's a really great guidebook. Mm-hmm. You can just get stimulated knowing that the things that you long for are not selfish. They're not unspiritual. In fact, it's one of God's pursuit for you. Mm-hmm. There's only three pursuits in the Bible, three ambitions in the New Testament. Making your ambition to please God is one. Making your ambition to spread the gospel, share the gospel, that's two. The third ambition is in Thessalonians, making your ambition to lead a restful, quiet life. And this is the adventure I want to invite all of you on. This is only one of three ambitions that God spells out. And so we can be ambitious about prioritizing our wellness. The more you can receive God's delight, experience his delight in you, and how that happens is when you choose what you delight in. The more you can do that, the more you'll be like a flower that opens, bloom, and you will naturally be able to be creative about how you respond. So dear sisters, thank you for giving me this time. Thank you, Lori Beth, for sharing your stories so personally, nurturing this wonderful community of moms with your heart, with your passion. So thank you.
Oh gosh, Bonnie, you are such a light. Thank you so much for these books. Thank you for today. And thanks for all you do. I really appreciate you.
That's it for this episode of Elevating Motherhood. Thanks again for spending your valuable time with me today. I hope you found some insight and inspiration, or maybe a little of both. If you like today's show, please leave a review on iTunes. I use your feedback to plan future shows and cover topics that serve you. You can also connect with me on Instagram and Facebook. Links to those accounts are in the show notes. For more information, including today's show notes, head to elevatingmotherhood.com. That's elevatingmotherhood.com. Thanks again, Mama. I appreciate you.